Who is this Jesus? A baby placed in Mary's stomach when she was espoused to Joseph. She knew not Joseph at that time. She had never known man. But she, somehow Jesus comes in her stomach through the Holy Spirit. Something that never happened. Jesus is in her through the Holy Spirit. The angels of the Lord, which is at that, it was Gabriel. Gabriel's the messenger, in case no one knows. The message usually comes from Gabriel. Gabriel's the messenger. So as he begins to tell Joseph, first he tells Mary what's going on. And then he told Joseph. Joseph decided, okay, I'm going to believe this. I'm going to hang on to this. I'm going to go with this. Jesus was born, child. And as he grew up, he began to teach in the synagogues as a young child, always in the synagogues, listening, trying to learn, trying to teach this child, small child. Before he was born, Herod sought to kill him. The enemy had an idea of who this Jesus is. And when Herod tried to trick the wise men into killing him, to bring him to where, or to let him know where he was so he could go kill him, when that didn't work, the enemy wanted him stopped so much that Herod said, kill every child in the land, 2 years and under. Imagine all the children you know 2 years and under, just in Fort Wayne. Enemy wanted to stop him. This guy, Jesus. He got away. He went to Egypt. And when Herod was gone, the Lord in a dream spoke to Joseph. Come on back now. This is Jesus. Lived his life always trying and always doing the right thing. Tempted in every way, but always doing the right thing. And then when he got to be 30, it was time for his ministry. Even though he had done things, it was time for his ministry to go forth. And he left and he began to call strangers and said to them, come on and follow me. Now just imagine, I don't know your dad, I don't know anybody's father. Well, I know Pam's father, but the rest of you, I don't know your fathers. But here I know about, yeah, and I know how my father was. If I'm working with my dad and we're doing the company business and a stranger comes along and points at me, says, come on, drop your stuff and come follow me. And I start walking away. So I'm going to have problems with my dad. I don't know how your dad was, but I'm going to have problems with my dad. But this is the power this man had. That the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit went before him to prepare hearts and minds. And you have to understand that those hearts and minds had to be prepared. Because if your dad was like my dad, he was going to grab you by the back of the shirt. Hey, where you going, boy? You know what I mean? Where you going? We got work to do. But this was this man, this mysterious Jesus. And as he get these, but before he goes there, let me go back. He goes out to be baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist recognizes him, says, "Oh, hold it! You should be baptizing me." Now listen. When I got saved, I still had that air. And I want to say confidence, but a lot of it was pride. A lot of it was still there because I was just not knowing how to live. So if someone asked me, hey, baptize me, yeah, I'd do that. Yeah, I got you. You know, I wanted to be somebody. But here's a man that didn't need to be somebody. He didn't need you to think he was somebody. Here's a man that said, okay, hey, baptize me. And John the Baptist says, hold it. Not me. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, suffer it to be done. That all righteousness must be fulfilled. And then he began to walk as he went to the wilderness. 40 days he fasted. Now, I have fasted 3 days and three nights, no food, no water. Because I wanted to get something or somewhere in my life. I wanted to learn how to deny my flesh because my flesh was rampant. My flesh desired things, hard things for me to shake. I can't imagine 40 days and 40 nights. I'd like to be able to get there. But this is the man that did it. And he did this for you and me. He didn't need to be saved. He didn't need his life to be changed. He did this for you and me. Who is this man that would do that? This girl I was dealing with asked me last night. We were beefing because she wants to go one way and I want to go another about churches and things. And she says, well, let's fast till noon. I said, till noon? Because I'm working every day. I get to work at my break time. I'm ready to eat. I didn't want to fast till noon. You know what I mean? So I'm just being real. 40 days he did this for you and me. And this is a girl that one day maybe I'll marry. If I ever get her act right. But what I'm saying is I didn't want to do that. And my flesh didn't want to do that. Just till noon. He did this. Then here comes the devil. Here comes, it's not bad enough that you're hungry and you've been alone. See, because something about being alone makes time just kind of stand still. 40 days, see, to me would be an eternity alone. Out there in the wilderness somewhere alone. Then here comes the devil. If you're this, if you're hungry, you turn that stone to bread. And I might just burn enough to thought that was not a bad idea. I'll turn that bush to meat. but you know what? He held on. He held on and he didn't have to hold on. He didn't need that. He did it because you and I needed it. He didn't have to do that. But he held on. Then he offered him, if you jump off this pinnacle, if you do this, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms as far as you can see. Now, you know, I would like to think I'd hold on. And in my hearts of hearts, I know I would hold on today. I believe I would hold on, but it'd be hard. In fact, if you offer me enough money just to pay my car off and pay off my credit cards to break me even, just get me to even ground. See, because I make enough money to run from there, but if you can just get me to even ground, it would give me something to think about. This is what I'm saying. See, we look at this as he was this and he was that. He was such a that and this and that because we see the story, we know the end, but he was just a man on earth. He's God incarnate because he's God at the right hand of the Lord because he's been glorified, but on earth he was a man just like me and you. Hungry just like me and you. Felt the heat, felt the pain, felt the desire just like me and you. But we relinquish, we minimize what he went through. We belittle it like it was okay. He's supposed to have done that. Call me 3 times in a row, ask me to borrow $10 and see how I get. You know what I mean? Little things. It's hard for me to continue to do little things. In my mind, I think, well, maybe God will do what he's supposed to do. But sometimes when you're not there, you're not looking, and somebody calls me for the third time in the middle of the night, I'm like, no, gone. Do you have anybody else's number? But I had given my life to God. Said, God, I would go. Until the calls start coming. You know, be careful what you ask for. But he did it, and he didn't have to. He did it, and he did not have to. Then they lied on him. You know how much I hate to be lied on? Nothing is worse than being, well, there are some things worse, but it is horrible to be lied on and can't prove that you didn't do it. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Somebody accused you of something you know you didn't do, man. And you can't. See, now me, the old Lyle, if anybody here know me, a few people knew, I used to fight. I'm old now. I can't fight as long or nothing like that, but I got two or three good swats in me if you try to run up in here quick. But anyway, I'd be ready to fight. I went through that in a church I was at not long ago. Someone lied on me. Said me and the pastor's wife was having an affair. You know, the mentors, they know I talked to them about things going on. Said we were having an affair. I'm the pastor's armor bearer. Pastor weighed 300 pounds. Had fists like hams. So I'm sitting up in the pulpit watching my back. They got big ham come down across my head. But anyway, that was enough to make me change churches. He was lied on, but he didn't abort the mission. I aborted the mission. That pastor passed away, and I've been called no less than 15 times saying, why didn't you stay? You would have been the pastor over there now. That God brought you home for that reason. He raised you up in there for that purpose. And sometimes I try not to ever do this, but sometimes I second guess myself. See, when you believe in your heart, when I believe in my heart, I'm following what God has said to do. I don't second guess it. Because if you do, you'll second guess everything. Yeah. If God says, give her what you got in your wallet, and I give it to her, and I go outside, and then Pam says, oh, you know what? I need 10 bucks for gas. Can you help me out? And then I'll start to second guess. Oh, you know what? I should have just. You'll find yourself second guessing everything. When God says it, it don't have to make sense. It don't. And most of the time when God is trying you, it won't make sense. Because it was easy, anybody could do it. But anyway, I aborted the mission. Jesus didn't. They arrested him. Took him. I remember one time I was riding in a car with this girl. We had been on a thing for a couple, 3 days. Car was stolen. Some of the stuff in the car was stolen. You know, I mean, we had rocks and pipes and everything else in the car. Now, the police get behind me. I didn't have no warrants at that time. I didn't have any warrants. But anyway, they get behind me. And I swoop around the corner. I throw my eyes out where I can see where it went. I told her, throw it out. She said she threw it out. So I pull over. They say, this car, the lady said, well, I had borrowed from this guy. He said, well, he reported it stolen. So now she's got a warrant on her. And they go in the car, which is, I don't got any warrants. I'm thinking, okay. Now, and I kind of liked the girl. She was cool. And in the back of my mind, you know, I was going to take the heat for her, about the car and stuff. And then they found that dope in the car. My first thought was, hey, you better talk for yourself. This is your stuff. Take your stuff. Take your own stuff. See, because I'm fallible. I had a reputation of being hard on the street, strong on the street, killer on the street. But I'm fallible. When that fear hit on me, when I felt like the heat was coming to me, it's time for you to take your heat. But Jesus didn't. When they arrested him, he didn't. He didn't give away the heat. He didn't say, well, God told me to. He didn't say this or John. He didn't blame anybody. He walked on in there. Then they begin to beat him. They begin to strip him. And I'm going to tell you something. Getting beat is bad enough. Getting stripped and beat has got to be one of the most humiliating things in life you can go through. When I was a dope fiend out there myself out there, and I've been times where I got jumped, I've been fighting because I had always stealing somebody's stuff. Somebody was always looking for me. And one of my biggest fears, I didn't mind going through the fight. I just don't want to get whipped in front of nobody. Isn't that silly? So I can only imagine what he went through, the anguish of everybody looking and laughing and mockery, making a spectacle of a public spectacle. And they beat him, stripped him, all these things. And they marched him up that hill. And they nailed him to that cross. And he had the audacity to say, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." In my ignorance, I'd be saying, "Push one of them over so I can kick him. They're just going to get something off." I would have went kicking his creep. Now, they would have got me in. They would have got me up there eventually. But two or three of them would have took sick leave next day because I would have still put something on two or three of them. But because I'm fallible. My reputation means nothing. I'm fallible. But he did this. This is what Jesus did. Do you realize 25, how old am I, 60? Maybe a little over 30, well, almost 30 years now. I've been telling that story because I've known that story for over 30 years. And it's a real good story. Isn't that a real good story?
Amen.
But let me tell you something. For me, it had to get to be more than just a real good story. See, because for me, the Wizard of Oz was a real good story too. Couldn't do nothing for me. This story of this Jesus was a real good story, and I could tell it from start to finish, and it couldn't keep me from getting high. It couldn't keep me from stealing from my brothers and sisters. It couldn't keep me from stealing from my mother. I broke into two churches, broke into halfway house, because that real good story just wasn't enough. It had to come to me more than a real good story. See, to somebody here, it's a real good story. And when you hear it, you feel something inside. Because every time I heard it, I'd feel something inside. But it just wasn't enough to make me change my life. It had to become to me instructions for life. It had to become to me personal. I had to get it out of my head and put that story in my heart. I had to let that man Jesus that gave his life for me, I had to give him my life and let him live in my heart. And then things began to change. Because I told that story at RDC. I've told that story in the county jail. I've told that story sitting outside of crack houses. I told that story in the emergency room when I'm down there after being shot or jumped or hit with a bat or something. Always able to tell that story. It couldn't change my life. I couldn't live a nickel worth of nothing. Because it was just a real good story. Somebody tonight has got to put that in your heart and understand that's just not just a real good story. That's what it takes for me to be whole. That story made me whole. That God in that story, that Jesus in that story lives in me today. Because of that, I'm able to walk on. I'm able to walk upright like a man, and things come against me. I got threatened on the phone the other night. I got threatened on the phone. My girlfriend's son called me and was talking crazy to me. Now, see, don't nobody talk crazy to me because I don't believe in that. I'm from the projects. I'm from Greenfield Square. I'm Lyle Kelsall. I was first seed of the Black Gangster Disciples in prison. Nobody don't talk crazy to me. He talked crazy to me and told me, "I tell you what, I see you when I see you." What does that mean? The next word out of my mouth was almost, "Well, where you at right now? Where you at right now?" But I remember my life has been bought with a price. I had to change. That story had to become to me more than just a real good story. If that story is true, something ought to be different in me. If that story is true, I ought not be the same person that I used to be. I was that guy who would get off of house arrest and go rejoice and party. I would go celebrate. First time on the house arrest, somebody hit my car. The day I was working construction, making 20-something bucks an hour. The day before I got off house arrest, the insurance check came and I got my payroll check. I got a few thousand dollars in my hand and I'm getting off house arrest. Went straight to this girl's house. stayed about a week. Didn't have a dime when I left. Pawned my car. The whole nine yards. See, you know what? You know what I like about Miriam? The celebration wasn't wrong. But I had to learn how to celebrate. See, when they came across the Red Sea with Pharaoh on their back and that water in front of them, they had nowhere to go. They were scared for their life. But when God opened the door and they came across that Red Sea, the Bible talks about when Miriam got to the other side, the first thing she did was she grabbed her tambourine. It was time to praise God because she knew what brought her out. The liquor store didn't bring you out. The rocks didn't bring you out. That spice didn't bring you out. That silly woman that you can't, you know ain't no good for you, didn't bring you out. That man whooping on you didn't bring you out. But we want to celebrate and give our life somewhere else. See, when people think I'm nuts, they come to my church sometimes. Because, yeah, let me tell you this story real quick before I go there. Somebody might have heard this. There was a man by the name of, they called him Shouting John. Old man. Shouting John was 79 years old. And he joined a dead church. You know the kind of church where all the dignitaries go, all the bankers go, and the pilots and all the CEOs, they go to this church. Now John went in that church dancing. And they're looking at John, they were ashamed of John, they looked at him and they told the ushers, "Hey, man, y'all go get that old man. What the heck is wrong with that old man?" So they go over there and get old John. They get John's arms, John's feet be moving. They get John's feet, John's arm be moving. So they had a meeting one day. They said, "We're going to tell you what we're going to do." Said, "We're going out to John's house. And we're going to talk to him. Because we don't act like that up in this church. We dignitaries up in here. We CEOs up in here. We run companies up in here. We're not workers, we bosses up in here." So they get in their Lexuses and their Lincolns and their Continentals, their BMWs, and they head up to John's house. They get to a gate with John's name on it. Big old gate. So they start riding through. Now they had to ride a long ways to get to the house. But as they ride to get up to this house, they see kids playing all out in the field. They see young adults working out in the field. By the time they get up to the house, they see this old man out walking out behind this mule, plowing the field at 79 years old. He see him coming. They walk up to him. They say, "John, we need to talk to you." John said, "I know why you're here." He said, "You want me to stop praising God in your church?" They say, "John, we don't act like that in our church. We dignified folks, we CEOs, we bank presidents. We don't act like that up in our church, John. We need you to stop acting like that, John." So let me tell you something. He said, "You see that name on that gate way back there when you come in that gate?" He said, "We saw it, John." John said, "God gave me all that land from that gate to here. But you don't want me to praise him in your church." Then they began to get quiet and think for a minute. John said, "You know what? Did you see all those children, all them young adults working and playing out in the field?" They said, "Yeah, we saw them, John." John said, "God gave me all them kids. Not one time have I been to the cemetery." Said, "Not one time have I been to the courthouse with one of them. But you want me to stop praising him?" Now they got quiet. John said, "Listen here." He said, "I'm 79 years old. And I'm still able to walk out behind this old mule and plow this field." He said, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me," he said, "I'll cut a step right here." He said, "In fact, if you hold my mule, I'll cut a step right here." And that's the way I feel when the Spirit of God come on me. I cut a step wherever I'm at. I don't care if people think I'm nuts. You think I'm nuts, you should have seen me running down the street with somebody's TV in my hand. You think I'm nuts, you should have seen me running down the street stinking so bad you can smell my feet through my shoes. You think I'm nuts? You should have seen me when I stole that woman's slab of ribs off the grill because I had nothing to eat. You think I'm ready? You should have seen me crawling through that window at that church. You think I'm crazy? You should have seen all them times they shackled me and took me back down to RAC. Should have seen all them times they locked me in them cages and them dungeons. So I don't care what you think about me. See, because I know who saved me. Because of God, I don't face them jungles no more. Because of God, I got keys to my church. Because of Jesus, I'm the armor bearer to my pastor at my church. Because of God, I'm able to get up for what he did in my life and speak to someone else. God, trust me today. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it's got to be to you more than just a real good story. Because when it was just a real good story to me, I was on my way to hell. When it was just a real good story to me, I was on my way to doing life in prison. When it was just more than good, I was on my way to being overdosing somewhere in somebody's house. But one day, it became more than just a real good story. So the next time somebody asks you, who is Jesus? Just tell them, hey, he's more than just a real good story.